A good Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayetze. I want to share with you something. As we go through these amazing Parshios, absolutely amazing, we see tremendously the power of the Emois. We're here at a, although many men joined the share, were open to it, but this was originally a women's share hotline before COVID. And I want to share with you something incredible. That Lavan, in this week's parasha, wants to destroy the Jewish people. And when Yaakov tries to run away with his children, he says something amazing. Habonois, the girls are benoisai, are my daughters. Vahabonim, and then he says, the sons are my sons. It is obvious from the pasuk that Lavan recognizes that if he gets the mothers of Klal Yisrael, the wives of Klal Yisrael, he sees that he's going to do well. So he begins with Habonois Benoisai. The first thing he says is, I need to get the girls, the women of Klal Yisrael. After I have the women of Klal Yisrael, then I'm good. Incredibly, what the women of Klal Yisrael were most famous for, that they inspired Klal Yisrael, was the power of tefillah. Till today, ask people why they merited this, why they merited that. They'll tell you, my mother used to sit at her candles, my grandmother. The power of Klal Yisrael's mother's tefillahs. In this week's parasha, an incredible phenomenon happens. Leah hits the jackpot. Rachel, who Yaakov wanted, came in second place. Leah, who Yaakov didn't want, somehow got the first place. And everyone knows the story, the shtick. But you got to know the story behind the story. The Svarim tell us, Ve'ene Leah Rakos. The Pasuk tells us that Leah's eyes were worn out. Tells us Rashi, because Leah always cried. Because everybody told Leah that you're going to marry Esav, the bad guy. Rachel is going to marry the good guy. So Rachel never davened, because she knew she's marrying the good guy. Leah's eyes bawled and cried. And guess what happened? She ended up marrying Yaakov first because of her tefillos. She davened her whole life that she should be successful and not falling into the hands of Esav. Which is still the merit of Leah was that we were still not in Golos, we shouldn't fall into Golos. Rachel's prayers, we know, are the ones that daven after we already fall into Golos, we should get out. But this is a very important concept that we learn from the Emois. As it says in the Psukim, Laban went to check the oil of Yaakov and then the oil of Rachel. Each one had their own tent. And Chazal and Psik the Zudras to tell us, these were, why do they each have their own tent? They were a couple. They had special tents to daven in. That's what Chazal tells us in this week's parasha. Yaakov beside his tent, Rachel beside her tent, he had a separate tent to daven in. Why? Because they recognize that the tefillos are going to get them. I want to share with you something. Women that I shared last week in Shul. And it was inspired by everyone knows, almost everyone knows, that last Thursday night, there was a zoning meeting for the new shul we hope to build, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. And I met many people Friday, and the next morning, and many people were a little bit dejected because many of the neighbors said, we love the shul, we love the people, but we don't We don't need a shul in our neighborhood. And many people were a little broken. And as I shared on Shabbos, many people, once they were ready at the topic of being stressed out, they said, Rabbi Halpern, how are we paying for this building? It's a few million dollars. I know we need it. A lot of young families moving. But how are we paying for it? And I shared that with them, that I asked this question to my Rav when we started the project. And my Rav looked at me like, and I asked him, could we go into a project that's a few million dollars? He says, you need it? I said, of course we need it. We're popping. So my Rav says, what, Hashem doesn't have enough money? I almost felt silly asking him. Like, he didn't know what I was talking about. He said, no, we daven, and it'll come. It was not even a question. A yid that goes ahead and understands that davening brings things. I mentioned last week in Shul that there's a pasuk in last week's parasha. Very interesting pasuk. It says, Vayeta Yitzchak El Hashem. Yitzchak daven to Hashem. Why? Kiakara, he. Because Rivka was barren. And I said over Rabbeinu B'chai that the pasuk's out of order. The pasuk says he davened first. And then it says Rivka was an akara. It should say first that Rivka was barren. First tell us Rivka was barren, and then you tell us what? That he davened. Says Rabbeinu B'chai, you're making a mistake. It doesn't work that way. It's not that Hashem sends problems so we should daven. Hashem wants us to daven, so he sends issues. When there's an issue with finances, or an issue with neighbors, or an issue with anything, that's just this, that we should daven. If we will daven, as I told everyone last week in Shul, I assure you there'll be no problems with zoning, there'll be no problems with money, because that's what Kosh Baruch Hu wants. We need to daven. And I turned to you, for the women that are sitting on this hotline, and I ask you for a favor, every single day, to please be mispal, that we should be zaycha, that the building should go through, the planning should go through, and the money should come in, because I promise you, if the women of Klal Yisrael, the women of our shul will daven, you will all stand beside me and watch the miracle happen. And then I finish with a story that I want to share with you. A very beautiful story about the koyach of tefillah and about how things happen. And I shared a very interesting story. I shared a story about a young mother, unfortunately a mother of four, that passed away from the dreaded illness. She left behind four children. The oldest, a 17-year-old girl. The youngest, a 12-year-old boy. Four children in those 4, 5, 6 years that she had. And unfortunately, the mother left the world, and the 17-year-old girl kicked in. Amazing. And she took over the house. She baked, she cooked, she cleaned, she took care of everything so the father should be able to go out and make a living. Amazing girl. The brothers and sisters are very grateful to her. One day, the 12-year-old boy overhears his sister davening to Hashem. She says, Hashem, my life is hard. I don't have a mother. Everything fell on me. But Hashem, I need one favor. I very badly, I want a gold ring. My friends have it. Socially, that was in. She pleaded to Hashem, Hashem, please, could you give me a gold ring? This little brother hears, and he's very, very grateful to his sister. Because his sister is such took good care of him. And he decides he's buying his sister a gold ring. And immediately, this is in Eretz Yisrael in B'nai Brak, he immediately starts putting away agurot. For those of you that know what agurot is, it's less than a penny in agura. And he starts putting away a couple of coins. And after 2, 3 weeks, he's convinced that he must have enough money for a gold ring. He's got already at least a dollar in there. But it's a lot of coins, a lot of small coins. And he's in B'nai Brak, so the stores are right there. And he crosses over to a nice jeweler from the community, knocks on the door. He's a little surprised to see a 12-year-old boy in the jewelry store. He opens the door. Kid comes in and says, I'd like to buy a gold ring. The store owner looks at him like, it's not every day that a little 12-year-old boy comes in for a gold ring. He says, can I ask you who it's for? He says, for my sister. He says, well, okay. He says, and who's going to pay for it? He says, me. And he proudly holds up his little piggy bank. The store owner goes, pours out the contents, he sees there's about a $2 in there, $3 in there. And he starts smiling to himself. But he figures that there must be more to the story. He turns to the little boy. And he says, young man, why do you want to buy your sister a gold ring? And the young boy begins to cry. Tears come out of his eyes. And he begins to cry. And he says, you don't understand, my sister. My mother passed away. And my sister takes care of us like you can't imagine. She goes ahead and she cleans and she washes. She goes, he says, okay. And I know that all she wants is a gold ring. I heard her say it. I want to buy her. By the time this young boy finishes his story, the jeweler's eyes are full of tears about this amazing 17-year-old girl. And he looks at the kid and he says, it's yours. You paid for it. He takes the $2, takes out a beautiful box, a gift box. He puts in the gold ring. The kid chooses, packs it, and says, hey, go. Give this to your sister. Comes home to his sister. And he says, whatever her name was, I bought you a gift. The sister like smiles. And the sister opens it up. She sees the box from the jewelry store. She's a beautiful gold ring. And she's like, are you serious? How did you know I want it? How did you get it? He goes, I bought it. So he says, she says, really? With what? You remember my piggy bank? And the sister's eyes start rolling. She knows how much money was in that piggy bank. She says, yeah. She says, something's wrong. She goes, let's go over to the store. She walks in with the store and she tells the guy, you sold this gold ring to this young boy? He says, yes, I did. He says, but he didn't have enough money. He says, it's yours. The girl says, there's no way he had enough money. I want to listen to what the storekeeper said to this girl. The storekeeper says, some rings are bought with money and some are bought with tears. And I think to myself, this story, the girl who davened with a genuine tefillah and the boy's tears, that's what pulled off the gold ring. If you ask how we're going to pull off a new building or how we're going to pull off anything, it's with tefillah. Buildings don't get built with money, they get built with tears and with tefillahs. So I ask you all, as Laban recognized when he chased Yaakov, first was Bonais Bonaisai, Habonais Bonaisai, and then Habonim Habonai. He recognized that he needs to get Klal Yisrael's mothers first. If you get them, we get the whole Klal Yisrael. And the opposite, if I don't get the mothers of Klal Yisrael, we get nothing. So mothers of Klal Yisrael, don't let a day go by where you don't daven for your children, for your spouses, for Klal Yisrael. Most importantly, for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. And if you could add in that our shul should be built, I would appreciate it as well. But that's the lesson of Parshas Toldos, and by Yetzin, the lesson of all the Parshas, where our fathers and mothers were barren and they had problem after problem. Why? Remember Rabbeinu Bechai, not they had problems, so they davened. So that they should daven, Hashem gave them problems. By Yetzin Yitzhak Hashem first. That's why Rivka was an Akara. Let's strengthen our tefillos. If we'll do that, there's no doubt we'll be Zeicher to finally get out of this Golos and be in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKadosh. Have an absolutely wonderful Shabbos.